Well, today we're coming to a very important subject before us. It's something I've been thinking about addressing for some time now. I'd like to take your attention to the book, to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we would come to you this day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, having no righteousness of our own, but only that which has been granted to us by Him. We ask now that you would come and overcome all of our own weaknesses, even our own doubts and tendency to despair. And would you just speak to us? Let this be a moment in which we're just settled there before the feet of Christ, listening to what He would say. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. So here's a question for you. What's your week look like next week? I suppose if I were to ask that question to most of you, we would have a number of similar sounding responses. People would say, wow, boy, I've got a hectic week, or man, it has been going crazy. I wish that there were a few more days in the week. I wish there were a few more hours in the day, or my goodness, this past week flew by. I don't even know if I'm going to have enough time. I didn't have enough time to finish what I had to do last week, let alone having enough time to finish what I have to do this week. In case you didn't know, life is getting busier and busier. Right? Life is getting busier and busier, and we're caught up in this merry-go-round of busyness, and it's not getting any slower, folks. There doesn't seem to be any way for us to call it quits, and for some of us, our lives, well, quite frankly, are pretty chaotic. We're just trying to keep our head above water, much less trying to get anything organized. We're just trying to exist, trying to get to the next point in our day. We're not working out putting anything out, and as we're on this merry-go-round, it seems pretty hard to make it stop, and it's almost impossible to call it quits. And the reality is that I know this morning that there are many of you who are here, and you are just worn out. You have the demands of your schedule at work and at home, and this winter has not really been easy on you, and we have gotten into the point where we've had the bubonic plague or something. Everybody and their brother is sick, not just for a few days, but for like weeks, and it's just going on and on, and things aren't getting any easier, and I know that I'm talking to some tired people today. I mean, maybe you feel pretty okay because you just woke up, or maybe you're just getting ready to settle down for a nap. I don't know. You know who you are. But you're just tired. You're sleeping less and less, and you're doing more and more. Is anybody relating to this? For the most part, you people are really, really, really faithful in how you live. And I suppose that I can call on any one of you here today if I need something, and it doesn't matter what you do, most likely you're going to, if you can't drop anything, you'll add something to your schedule just to come and help. And, you know, whether it's personally or here at the church facilities, you don't realize how good it is for me to be able to say, you know what? Saturday, we need help here, and 30 people show up. Just show up. And I tell you, that is such an encouragement and such a blessing. But it doesn't take away from the fact that there are a lot of tired people, faithful, tired people. Over the years, you have given selflessly, you have given sacrificially, and I just want to say today, praise be to God for that. So many good things going on. So much ministry. So much life in the church. So much that we're just very, very grateful. In fact, our situation today sounds pretty similar to what's going on here in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, there's much going on in terms of ministry. Ministry and life together with Jesus was just a flurry of activity, not only for Jesus, but also for all of those who were involved. And I tell you, it was successful ministry. Chapter 10, the beginning of it, Jesus sends out the 72. They go out and they minister and they preach the gospel, so much so that Jesus says, you know what? I saw Satan falling from heaven. I mean, there's some great things going on here. Jesus is teaching. The gospel is being proclaimed. People are coming to faith in Jesus Christ like never before. Such successful ministry going on. And it's very possible to get caught up in the flurry of activity that's going on. And some of you right now are just saying, you know what? I'm not even caught up in ministry. I'm just trying to exist. I'm just trying to make life happen. I'm trying to not be dead tomorrow morning. You know, that kind of thing. There's a very, very important lesson that comes at the end of Luke chapter 10 that I want us to spend this week and next week trying to unpack as we continue this little series on guarding what is God's. Last week we looked at our treasure is His provision. And so if you follow that through, it's really our treasure is Him. Today I want to talk about guarding what is God's, and I want to talk about our schedule. Your schedule is His prerogative. Your schedule is His prerogative, and I want to try to help us to defend a little bit against this thing of busyness. And what we have here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, really serves as an eternal lesson for us. Not just on the subject of busyness, not just on the subject of schedule, but when it comes down to the point of our life. It's a pretty familiar passage. You've heard it before. Verse 38 says this, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. To work through this passage this morning, what I'd like to do is divide it. Now, I say we're going to loosely divide it because not everything we're going to say will necessarily fall under one of these headings, but I want to divide it into four sections this morning. Four sections to just kind of give us some pegs to hang our thoughts on this morning. I want to look, first of all, at Mary's devotion, and then we'll look at Martha's distraction, and then we'll look at Jesus' delight, and then we'll look at the word's duration. Okay, so four words, basically, devotion, distraction, delight, and duration. Those are the words that will try to help us understand a little bit more about this section of Scripture. This passage begins with Jesus, and it's likely that He and His disciples are traveling over to Bethany. It says here, as they went on their way. So they were on their way. Just because we know a little bit about how Jesus conducted life and ministry, it's likely that He had sent word on ahead to Bethany, saying that He would come. He's going to go there to Bethany. No doubt He sent word ahead. And when He went to Bethany, He was going to stay at the home of Martha. Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. Now, we're not given any really restrictive or limitations on our time. Luke doesn't, even though he's a fabulous historian, he doesn't really give any notes on the timing of this. It's likely that this was one of the first times that Jesus had met Mary and Martha and Lazarus.
And we know that there was a tremendous friendship that began as a result of this meeting. Most likely, Mary and Martha and Lazarus came into contact with the teachings of the gospel through the ministry of the 72 that happened there in Luke chapter 10. Probably the way things happen. They came to embrace Jesus as Lord. They came to embrace the gospel. And now that set off a friendship between these three and Jesus that is to come. We'll read lots about that, especially in John chapter 11. The Bible says that they entered the village. We know that this is the village of Bethany because of what the rest of the scripture says. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, you don't see this in the original, in the English language, but in the original, that word welcomed is in the intensified form. She eagerly, fervently went out of her way to open up her house to Jesus. She was more than happy to extend hospitality to Jesus and presumably to his disciples as well. This is her home. That's what Jesus wants us to know here. This is her home, and she is now welcoming Jesus into it. First thing that we need to make note of as we come to this passage is, as I said, the devotion of Mary. Because verse 38, we go right off of Martha and right on to Mary. We're not told anything about Mary's appearance. That's not what's important here in this section. And maybe we could spend some time talking about that and why the appearance here is not important. We're not talking about whether or not she was wearing designer clothes or what kind of makeup or jewelry she had on. Just that she was there. She had a sister, Mary. And here's what's important. Here's what stood out about Mary. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. What we have here is a clear reference to Mary's devotion. Nothing else is brought to our attention except the fact that she was sitting there at the feet of Jesus and she's listening to his teaching. I'll tell you what. What we read here might be considered pretty revolutionary because according to the culture and according to the standards of the time, women did not sit, and the words that are used here give the idea that she sat right beside Jesus. Likely he was seated as well, maybe on a chair, we don't know. He's seated there, maybe he's on the floor. He's seated there, and she's sitting right smack beside him, right there at his feet. And this was totally countercultural because the rabbis would not allow for it. The rabbis would never allow for a woman to be in the same room with a man who is teaching, much less be right there beside him. They would have relegated her to the backside of a room. They would have relegated her to the woman's section. And here's Jesus, and he's allowing this woman, this Mary, to just sit there at his feet and listen to his teaching. And there she sat at his feet, riveted. I'm sure that there's some kind of picture here. You know, he's right there at the feet of Jesus. Perhaps if we're to see a little picture of the sovereignty of Christ and of the supremacy of Jesus, even as we would read of later in Ephesians chapter 1, the latter part there where everything is put under the feet of Jesus. Maybe we're to see a note here of her submission, of her yieldedness to the authority of Jesus, of her yieldedness to the lordship of Jesus. But that's not the primary point. As she sat there, he was teaching, and it says that she was listening to his teaching. Literally, she was hearing and heeding his word. She was hearing and heeding his words. There was a moment when she had been helping her sister with some of the preparations that would be involved in probably having at least 15 people, if not more, in their little home. There was a moment where she was over helping Martha to make sure everybody had what they need. But there's now, she soon found herself seated there right in front of the Lord at his feet. What I would love to know is, what was he teaching? that caused her to be so riveted to his words? We don't know. We don't know what Jesus' lesson was on that day. We don't know what his sermon was about that day, because Luke doesn't mention it specifically here. But we do know that wherever Jesus went, he went preaching. Mark 1:35, "For this reason I have come." He's going to go preaching. His ministry for these 3 years up until his death was going to be a proclamation ministry, a proclaiming ministry. When we know that, we can tie together other scriptures, like what we read in the prophet Isaiah, verse 1 of chapter 61, when it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." I think that this was the subject of Jesus' teaching. He was preaching the gospel. And this absolutely captivated and enthralled Mary as she sat there riveted, listening to the very words of God himself, listening to the message of the gospel from the lips of its author. Can you imagine what that must have been like? As he begins expounding the magnificent truths of the grace of God. And we know that Mary was so moved by her love for Jesus, that just later she would go and anoint him, anoint his feet with oil. So much she loved Jesus. I think because of the gospel she heard, I think maybe this was a brokenhearted woman. I mean, just imagine what it must have been like. All of her life, she's relegated to the back of the room. Hey, you can't be in here to this teaching. The authority-less rabbis will be the teaching. No, you can't be in this room. You can't. You go to the woman section. You go to the back of the room. And now she's sitting right there at the feet of the master. And she's riveted on the truths of the gospel. The freeing truths of the gospel. The set prisoners free truths of the gospel. Ministering life to the captives. Hope to sinners. And she's just thrilled. She's enthralled. Because of this gospel. So amazing. She's captivated by what he's saying. She's drinking in every word as if her soul had been a parched desert. I was thinking this week as I was planning for this. I've had the privilege of having something like this happen a couple of times. The first time was back in 2001. And a group of us, we went to a little village. Those of you who were in New Guinea with us, we went to Etevi Amale's village. Remember walking through the coffee fields for whatever it is, was an hour. We got into that little village there, and we saw that little bamboo church, and we walked in that building, and the people were just seated right there on the floor. I was standing, and people were seated right before me. And I remember, I'll never forget, Lord willing, I'll never forget that. I preached from Romans 5 that day in English as it was translated for me. And that's never, you know, an ideal situation. But for some reason that day, the people just heard. And I sat there and I stood there teaching as the people wept as I talked about being justified by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I could just see those people being spellbound. And I think thought this week about that. You know, here they were. They had known what it was like to be abused by the rituals of the customs, the ancestor worship and cannibalism. They knew what that was like. And now they were hearing justified, being declared righteous by grace through faith. And that just turned on the waterworks, you know. Or standing there in Uganda as our driver said to us this past January, "Do you think you could tell me how to be saved?" And just see people drinking in the truths of the gospel as he sat there and heard and he said, "Yes, yes, yes, that's what I want to believe." Devotion such as that. You know, I wonder why, by and large, that's not often what we see here. I'm not just talking about here in the church. I mean here in the West, here in America. Why? Why is that?
Well, that leads us to talk about the next section, which is the distraction of Martha. You go from the devotion of Mary to the distraction of Martha, and you see it right there in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. So we've tried to paint a little bit of a picture of Mary, and now we got to paint a picture of Martha. She's the owner of the home. She opened her doors to Jesus, probably, as I said, as many as 15 individuals in her home or more. Shouldn't have a hard time picturing what she's doing. What's she doing? She's serving, because that's what you do. You know, you serve. She's taking care of everyone. That's the way normal things happen. Now, in my house, people come over to my house, and, you know, my refrigerator is a community refrigerator, and my coffee maker is a community coffee maker, and I come home, and I never know who's going to be there making my coffee and eating my food. But here's Martha. She's just serving. In fact, the word for serving here is the word from which we get our word deacon. She's deaconing. She's ministering. This is a good thing. Praise the Lord for Martha, ministering, deaconing, serving. Very good, very good. She's doing what's expected. But we read that she was distracted with much serving. And this is really telling. Martha is busying herself with much serving. And after welcoming Jesus into her house, which is a really, really good thing, she's now distracted with much serving. That word distracted, it means to be pulled in two different directions at the same time. I just have to ask you, have you ever felt like that? Maybe some of you are saying, two different directions? How about 57 different directions at the same time? Ligon Duncan said this, "My friends, if there was ever a culture in which we are susceptible to the very temptation, it is ours. We live in the busiest culture in the history of the world. We are constantly surrounded by and bombarded by busyness. And you know what? Most of our busyness is a superficial busyness. I think our forefathers were far less busy, got a lot more done than we get done because we spend so much time doing superficial stuff. But we're busy all the time. There's stuff going on all the time. There are beepers going off, phones going off, iPads going off, iPods going off, cell phones going off. All of these things happening at one time." And that busyness, he says, is an enemy to discipleship, because it keeps our eyes focused on a multitude of less important things, and we forget the most important thing. And the Lord Jesus says, "Martha, in the midst of all the things you have to do, don't forget the most important thing." If there was ever a generation that needed the public worship of the Lord morning and evening on every first day of the week, every Sunday, it's ours, because we are 24/7, 365 days a year busy, preoccupied with stuff. And when we're preoccupied by stuff, Duncan says, we can forget the most important thing. I just want you to see for a moment what happens. I'm not, and by the way, this is not a sermon that's trying to tell us that we should get rid of cell phones and iPads and iPods. Those of you who in your self-righteousness sit back and say, "Well, I don't have those things." The issue is not those things. The issue is our heart. Look what happens when this woman is pulled in so many directions. Look what happens. She is obviously peeved. She's irritated. She is aggravated. She is frustrated. She is angry. Isn't that what happens when all of a sudden we tend to get overwhelmed by everything? You get frustrated. You get angry. You get irritated. You get aggravated. And she just goes right up to Jesus. She went up to him. The force of those words is like she went up to him and just exploded. She went right up to him in the middle of the teaching. This was not a passing a note. This was, "Excuse me, Jesus, one moment, please. Do you not care?" Whoa, did you see that? It's now
Now her problem is between her and Jesus. She's accusing Jesus. Don't you care? See what happens when you begin to become busy and overwhelmed with all the things. Frustrated and aggravation sets in to the point that you start saying, I don't even know if God loves me. You care about what's going on? Look at all this I'm doing. Do you not even care? Lord, don't you care my sister has left me to serve alone? The idea here is that Mary had probably been serving with Martha. You can just imagine Mary, right? She's taking a drink to somebody. She goes over and she serves it, and she stands there and she's listening to Jesus. Maybe she's pouring some in her cup and she starts listening, and the water goes everywhere or whatever. She's just caught up. She's enthralled. She's riveted to the message of the gospel from the mouth of the master. She had been serving with me. Now she's back. And then she comes back and she goes back. That's the idea of what's happening. Don't you care? You see, Martha now is obviously very caught up in everything that she's been doing. And here's Mary. She's not helping. I want you to see the problem is not with the serving. The serving is good. It's very good. The problem is not with the hospitality. The hospitality is good. It's very good. Jesus doesn't say, you should have never opened up your house. Martha is distracted. She's aggravated. She's miffed. She wants Jesus to do something about it. John MacArthur said, how easy it is to start out doing something good, but because you don't understand what is best, even what is good creates selfishness, frustration, and then you do something that's outrageous because you can't contain your attitude. It just comes out. See what happens? That these things start weighing on you, and then pretty soon you're just, the attitude pops up. The frustration comes out. And Jesus has what's been called a mild rebuke for Martha. Martha, Martha, you're anxious. That word anxious, it has the idea, you're just thinking about everything. You're just thinking. And he's not condemning thinking about things, obviously. But her mind is preoccupied with everything else. Maybe like some of you today, your mind is preoccupied with the meal that is to be planned, with the games that are to be played later today, with the television that's to be watched later today. Your mind is preoccupied. You're just anxious thinking about everything else. You're anxious. You're preoccupied in your thinking, and you're troubled. You're bothered. Everything is bothering you. Nothing is helping you. It's bothering you. You got all these leeches on you, and they're sucking the blood right out of your soul, Martha. That's what's happening. You're really worried. You're bothered about many, many, many things. And that's causing you to be pulled in all of these many directions. The issue is not, you just need to stop serving. That's not the issue. The issue is not, you need to stop serving. The issue is you got to put everything in order, Martha. You got to put everything in order. You got to see the priorities in your life, Martha. Let everything else serve one thing, not one thing serve everything else. A little bit on the devotion of Mary, a little bit on the distraction of Martha. I just want to show you the delight of Jesus. He says here, the Lord answers her, Martha, Martha, verse 41, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Verse 42, but one thing is necessary. I just want you to think about that phrase. One thing is necessary. Do you know that Jesus longed for what Martha, for what Mary was doing? He longed for that. He longed for people to hear his word. This is indelibly clear throughout the Gospel of Luke. Just consider a few chapters prior, Luke 8:18. He's telling his disciples, take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. That's pretty clear there. Remember what Jesus says? I'm not going to take this away from Martha, but take heed to how you hear, because what you have could be taken away. If you think you have something, it could be taken away from you.
Or Luke 8:20.
Jesus was teaching. He's told that your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. He answered them, said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Jesus longed for what Mary was doing as she was listening to his word.
Luke 11:28, he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it."
This is the central message of these chapters of the book of Luke. There was a delight in his heart. This was the purpose of his ministry. He said, "For this reason I have come. I have come to preach the gospel." Let's go to other towns. Remember Mark chapter 1? "Hey, Lord, a lot of crowds. People are looking for you." Jesus said, "Okay, they're looking for me. Good. Let's go over here and preach, because that's why I came. Just turn from them and go over here and preach."
And when someone listened to his word, it was no doubt the joy of his heart. And so he tells Martha, "There's one thing that's necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion." Mary has chosen what is good, and that word good simply means what is beautiful. That's the point. In the eyes of Jesus, that's beautiful. I mean, we've seen some beautiful things. Think about the creation of the Lord. Think about it. I just rehearse in my mind some of the places that I've been in the world. I'll never forget going up to the mouth of the Grand Canyon. And as I stood over there, immediately my breath was just taken as I saw the grandeur of this place, or going up to Niagara Falls and feeling the roar of the water underneath my feet, standing there amazed at the glory and the beauty of the Lord, or flying over some of the islands there in the Pacific in the volcanic region and looking down and seeing the luscious green, the beautiful blue water, and thinking, "Lord, this is beautiful. Jesus, what do you think is beautiful?" I'll tell you what's beautiful. When there is a woman who is listening to the message of the gospel, the power for freedom, that's beautiful. That's what I love. That's beautiful to me. That's what Jesus says is good.
One man said the single priority for all Christians is to hear the revealed word of God, because that is prior to every other spiritual duty. The story makes it clear. Number one priority is hear what God has said. Everything else in life is supposed to fall under this one great priority. And he says to Martha, "Mary has chosen fellowship with me, and no one will take that away from her." One pastor said, "The soul's communion with Christ is the one necessary thing. Everything else passes away. Your wealth here will pass away. Your vocation here will pass away. Your family here will pass away. Your relationships will pass away. The institutions that you invest your life in will pass away. The communities that you invest yourselves in will be gone. But the soul's communion with Jesus Christ by faith in Christ is the response. In response to the free offer of the gospel, will never end. It is the one necessary thing." This is the delight of the heart of Jesus. Why? Because of the fourth division, and that is the duration of the word. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. That word, taken away, is the word that we could use for amputate. This is the thing that will not be amputated. This is the thing that will not be stripped away. The Lord is unwilling to take away this from Mary. And that really makes sense, doesn't it? How much of what I'm doing will be amputated from me? How much of what I do will be taken away? Everything else will ultimately pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Nothing is more important than hearing the word. So, this fairly familiar passage, making note here of these four sections: the devotion of Mary, the distraction of Martha, the delight of Jesus, and the duration of the word. In the swirl of activity, in the midst of lots of successful ministry, lots of life activity going on here in Luke chapter 10,
The chapter closes out with Jesus reminding us of what is really, really important, the supreme priorities that Jesus places on life and ministry.
The temptation for me is to try to deal with a sermon like this and talk about, because as I said, I'm so thankful for the activity of this church and the selflessness and the sacrificialness of this church, of you people, and how we are quick to not consider our own schedule and just be willing to help and be willing to serve and just add. And I know so many of you are working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and we have families that we're attending to, and the never-ending mountain of bills, not to mention the mountains of laundry and dirty dishes and lawns that will soon need to be mowed, and we'll be complaining about hot weather soon, just in time to start complaining about cold weather, and all of the things that are going to go on. The temptation is to deal with a sermon like this and try to say, well, now let's all look at our schedule and now, you know, give everybody a day timer when you go out here today and give everybody a calendar and say, now this will help and this will make all the difference. I'm not necessarily talking about, well, let me say it this way. It's not wrong for you to feel overwhelmed. It's not bad for you to be tired. I'm kind of thinking we ought to embrace that. I read a book that was very helpful to me this week. Kevin DeYoung wrote a book called Crazy Busy. It's an excellent book. You ought to pick it up if you have time. And in that book, he said something like this. He closed out his book and he said, it's not wrong to be overwhelmed. It's not wrong to be overtired. He said, what's really bad is when we have more chaos in our life than we want because we have less Jesus than we need. We have more chaos than we want because we have less Jesus than we need. I'm not going to tell you how to organize your life. I'm not going to give you a day timer. I'm not going to give you a new priorities list to show you how everything will work out fine. I'm not even going to tell you what things you shouldn't be doing. I'm saying this. There's one great priority for your life, and that is hearing the Word of God. I'm not saying that that's going to make you less tired, that tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and you'll be like, wow, I was hearing the Word and now I'm not tired. All of a sudden I have 29 hours. No, it's not going to happen. In fact, it might be more difficult. I'm saying this is the one priority. What I'm fearful of is that in a church like this where everybody is so willing to serve and so quick to do, frustration and irritation and aggravation can come quickly as well. Frustration with people, with family members, with God. I'm saying this. Let's see what's happening is, in our day and age, we are actually taking less and less time to hear the Word. You know? We have things called drive-by devotions, you know? The Bible says, do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But what do we have happen? We have people meeting together less and less for the public proclamation of the Word. Not more and more. And we're missing out on that one priority. Not taking time to look into the Word and find out what God would have to say there. Because well, I got soccer practice tonight and I gotta throw some Pop-Tarts down my kids' throats before we move. And then I got this going on and this going on. I got to take the laundry to the cleaners and I got to take the car in here. I don't have time for the Word. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying about anything of cutting out anything. I'm saying, let's make sure that there is one great priority, and that is that we never miss out on the hearing of the Word. Whether that's where the Word is publicly being proclaimed, or that's in our time where we're just sitting at the feet of Jesus, as it were, in our home and saying, Lord, what do you have to say here?
I don't want to give the impression that life is supposed to be all neat and tidy.
And that's one of the problems that I have in this, because my life isn't all neat and tidy. People are coming up to me all the time saying, you got to slow down. You got to stop doing this and this and that and all those kind of things. I don't have it together. So, and you don't have it together. I don't want to make it sound like life needs to be all neat and tidy. I just want to give you two points of application for you to think about as you leave. Number one, it's possible to be a believer and yet to be distracted, pulled in so many directions, like Martha. It's possible to be a believer and yet be distracted from the Word of God by other things, and whatever those other things can be, undefined at this moment.
And number two, let your life follow the one great priority of listening, of hearing the Word of God. Don't confuse that with people who say today, oh, have you listened to God today? You know, as if there's some still small voice in which God whispers to our ear. I'm not talking about that mystical jargon. I'm talking about the priority of the Word, the inspired Word. God speaks here. This is where God speaks. Let your life follow that one great priority, because your schedule is His prerogative. Next week, I'd like to talk a little bit more about what that means and how we plan things, how we set things in our life according to an order. But this week, the one great priority is the Word. Question for you is this. Today, you know, hopefully you're here giving priority to the Word, but it's possible that some of you are here distracted even from that. You didn't even hear what God said because of what happened this morning, of what's going to happen this afternoon, what's going to be going on this evening. You're thinking, you're passing notes, you're updating Facebook, you're doing all of these little things. You're distracted, and that's why, that's a great possibility as to why your life could be chaotic, unnecessarily so. What things are distracting you from hearing from what God says, to what God says? Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Word. Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you for how you have blessed us here. We thank you for servants who are so quick to serve and to pitch in and to help. And in the midst of all of that, Lord, please guard us from being pulled away from the one thing that really, really matters. Lord, let our lives be right there before your feet, listening. Even as we're serving, let us be listening, meditating on what you've said. Even as we're going about doing whatever we're doing, or our daily jobs, whatever it might be, let that be meditating on the Word of God day and night and night and day. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Would you take your hand?